And we're reading from Matthew 20, 17 through 28. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And then the ten heard it, and they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall be not so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That is the word of the Lord, and you may be seated.
Our theme for Mission Week has been selfless, which is really what Jesus was for us, and that we are to serve as Christ has served others. And I want to praise the Lord for Mission Week. It has just been a profound week, a week that has really been inspiring, motivating, and I want to praise the Lord for that. It's also been a week for us that we've had people that we love that have passed away. Diane Quartz passed away. And the funeral at this time looks like it'll be April 1st at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're still working out the details. That's the plan. And then Pastor Don Clark lost his wife, Sam, and so Helen, but her nickname was Sam, and everyone knows her as Sam. And so we're praying for Don Clark. And then we want to continue to pray for Ron Kildee as he is facing probably his last couple days here on earth. And then continue to pray for Jim, Ashley, and Gracie in their physical battles. And we want to pray for the nation of Israel this morning. So let's pray. Holy Father, thank you. What a gift this week has been that you have given us through the men and women who serve all over the world that have touched us with the message of God's call in their lives and how you are working and moving throughout the world. And Lord, it's amazing that you use this church in International Falls to serve and bless these men and women. And we praise you for this week. And Lord, help us not to forget what we have taken in this week. Help us to be inspired and motivated to share Christ even with those in our own neighborhoods, Lord, to love them into the kingdom of God. And Lord, we do pray that as we come to this end, that our faith promises would be used for your purpose and that more people would come to know Christ as a result. And Lord, we surround loved ones that have lost a loved one. We do pray for Dylan Quartz and the loss of his mother, and now as he faced life without parents, we would pray that you would help him know your love in a special way. We pray that her service would be an honor to you and to her life, Lord Jesus. And we do pray for Pastor Don Clark as he is dealing with the loss of his wife. Lord, may you comfort him, and may her testimony of how she loved you be something that touches many lives. Lord, it is an honor to know someone who's loved you to the very end. May her funeral, her memorial services, be something that helps people know Jesus. And Lord, we do pray for Ron Kildee as he is in the process of facing maybe some of the last days here on earth. May those last days be physically comforting and ones that help him to know the strength of his faith in Christ. And Lord, we continue to pray for Jim and Ashley and Gracie. Give them good days, strong days, healthy days, and help them to continue to rely and trust in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as Pastor Jay Christensen comes to share about his ministry, as he bridges the gap between Christianity and Israel, may you bless Israel. May you help Israel to know their one true Messiah, Jesus Christ. And may you help this nation that is in many ways war-torn, have peace. Lord, speak now through Jay. Use him in a mighty way to present the gospel, not just this morning, but through his ministry, Bridges for Peace. Lord, bless us as we hear and help us to take action as a result. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's welcome Pastor Jay Christensen as he comes to share.
Thank you. I'm going to steal this. I promise to return it. And I usually keep my word. No. Hello back there. I was originally raised in the Lutheran church, so I understand the backsitters there. You're not backsliders, you're just backsitters. Okay, just stay tight with the Lord. Okay. It was interesting that they want to just make sure I check the time here, because you tap your watch when I hit about 20, okay? Okay, the secret is I need my glasses to read, so that's just a blur back there. So somebody stand up and go like this when I hit about 20, okay? Okay, good. Thank you. You sang today some very interesting songs, and we'll start with this. The first one was, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. Excuse me, that particular song, and then the scripture verse where she said, would you please let my boys sit at your right hand and your left? And in Hebraic thinking and in a Jewish idiom, that basically means, I want my son to be your right-hand man, your strength, your prime minister, and my other son to be next in line. Okay, that's a huge thing she's asking the Messiah. And Jesus looks and goes, you have no clue what you are asking. Why? Because in order for him to become the Messiah, he has to die. And he says, are you ready for that? And they said, oh yeah, we're ready. All but one of the disciples was martyred. Are you ready for that? I'll tell you why. Because you just said, in my life, Lord, be glorified. In the book of John, John uses that word specifically. When he was at the Feast of Tabernacles and Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit being outpoured, John gives us a little clue. He says, he was talking about the Spirit that hadn't been poured out yet because he had not yet been glorified. John uses glorified as his description of the crucifixion because it was in his utter humiliation on the cross that he received his greatest glory. Do you want the glory of God? Then be ready to be humiliated and be ready to be selfless. Because giving up your life for somebody else is the most selfless act you can ever, ever do. So, are you ready to sing that song again, maybe at the end of the service? In my life, Lord, be glorified. Let me carry the crucified life of Christ within me. And we haven't even started with the message. But that'll preach right there. Okay, we're good. Reset your clocks. Okay. No. I want to thank Pastor Dearen for opening up the pulpit as a pastor. I know that's always a, oh, what is he going to say, kind of a thing. And I will be true and honor. I also want to thank the Missions Committee for the invitation. Thank you to Peggy Gustafson and everybody who has hosted me. Someday I hope to bring my wife up to meet all you wonderful people. Because the more I get to know you, the more I feel like, wow, this could be a really nice home church. And everybody says, amen. Okay, here we go. Did you know that God is interested in missions? God is the best mission-sending agency in the world. And he only sent one missionary. It was Jesus. And then he turns around and Jesus says, I'm going to deputize all y'all, and all y'all are going to be my missionaries. And I want to show you this morning what God's way of missions is. In fact, it's a very Jewish way, and you may not know it. Actually, you already know it. I'm just going to try to reveal to you how it comes about here. So, I'm going to be reading a bunch of scriptures, and follow through with me, because I'm going to paint pictures as we go. All y'all are familiar. You know, like I lived in the South, so that comes out every once in a while. All y'all. Everybody here knows the movie The Ten Commandments, right? Charlton Heston. You all know that, right? Well, it starts with the Exodus and the parting of the Red Sea, the blood of the Lamb, all that. In the third month, on the same day of the month that the Israelites had left the land of Egypt, in order to do that, they had to be freed from Pharaoh's grip, and they had to do it through the death of the Passover lamb and the blood applied. So now, once they've made that exodus, they're trekking across the wilderness to a meeting point. This meeting point is Midian, where Moses met the Lord. Midian is on the west side of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. It's not in the Sinai Peninsula. So they're trekking across this wasteland to get to Mount Sinai, which Paul also says is in Arabia. So they're trekking, and this is, you know, you're probably dragging along about 1.5 to 2 million people with you by conservative estimates, because the scriptures say 600,000 men plus women and children and all their flocks. This is not an easy maneuver. So they take 47 days to cross the wilderness, and eventually they get to Mount Sinai, and they make a camp. Once they get to Mount Sinai, Moses is talking with God, and God says, okay, I want you all to wait. Prepare yourselves. You have 3 days, and in 3 days, I'm going to meet you. Are you ready? Okay, so they all get ready. 3 days later, all of a sudden, something happens, and this you find in Exodus 19 if you're taking notes. On the third day, and this, by the way, would be day number 50, day number 50 from the Exodus. The Lord told on the third day, when morning came, there was thunder and lightning, a thick cloud on the mountain, and a loud trumpet sound. That would not be Doc Severinsen or Tower of Power. It would be a shofar, the ram's horn trumpet, so that all the people in the camp shuddered. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke because, and pay attention to this, the Lord came down on it in fire. Its smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace. So he's talking a blast furnace, so there's this roar that's going on. And the whole mountain shook violently. In fact, some of the rabbis get creative and they say, it shook so violently, it's as if the mountain was hopping. Well, God could do it, because he can move mountains. Thank you. Okay, so here are the elements in this picture to pay attention to. The mountain, God's people gathered, fire, a roaring wind. God arrives, and what does he do? He makes these freed slaves into his official nation. He makes a covenant with them. This covenant was well known in its day, and it was called a suzerain-vassal covenant. In other words, a king-servant covenant. The king would free a group of people, and he would say, okay, I did this for you, now you do this for me. These are the terms of the agreement, and that's what is called the law. The Torah is the terms of the agreement. He says, you live this, I'll be your God, you be my people, and we'll all get along great. Right? That's what he said. In fact, we have the same type of social contract today. We have a government and a people, and as long as we live according to the laws, everything's cool. Okay, so this is what God is talking about here. So he created a body of a nation. And then he said, here's my Torah. And my Torah comes from two Hebrew words, which means yara, Y-A-R-A-H, which means to throw at a target. And the Hebrew word more, M-O-R-E-H, which means to teach. So God's Torah is not this harsh, horrible thing we call the law. It means it's God's way to throw you at his mark and to teach you how to live. You understand? Okay, go like this. It's an old Hebrew custom. Okay, good. So this is the way God wants you to live. Now, if you live God's way, who are you going to look like? You're going to look like God. So then he looks at the Israelites and he says in chapter 33, go, leave here, you and the people you brought from the land of Egypt to the land I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your offspring. So now what God does is he takes this nation of people who are living his ways. And by the way, in the scriptures, the revelation of God is looked at as the light of God. It is a revelation. That's a Hebraic way of saying it. So these people are carrying the light of God, the revelation of God, And he goes, now go over in that land I promised you. Now, there was a reason he stuck them in that land. Now, everybody think in your heads to the globe. Okay. Europe is here. Asia is here. Africa's down here. Guess which nation sits at the juncture of those three continents? Israel. And as the trade routes passed from Europe to Africa, Africa to Asia, Asia back up to Europe, guess which land they walked through? Israel. God took Israel like a lantern, his revelation, and he stuck them at the turnstile of the nations. And as the nations passed by, they would see how the people of Israel would live, and all the nations, according to Moses, would say, wow, what a fantastic people. What a marvelous way to live. They must serve a wonderful God. And that was God's revelation, his light to the world. Is this beginning to sound a little familiar? Okay. Now, did Israel have a good time fulfilling those terms? No, they struggled because human nature gets in the way of living God's way. So this is the battle. Eventually, he had to discipline them. But he raised up the prophet Jeremiah, and he said, I'm going to do something in the future that'll be different. This is Jeremiah 31. He says this, look, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Did you catch that? I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, meaning the land of Israel, because they had split into two kingdoms by this time. I'm going to make a new covenant with the Jewish people. This is not going to be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of Egypt, a covenant they broke even though I'd married them, the Lord says. Instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Pay very close attention. I will put my teaching, more, within them and write it on their hearts. That teaching is the Hebrew word Torah. I'm going to take those same terms, and instead of on stone, I'm going to write it on flesh. You follow me? No longer will one teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, know the Lord, they will all know me, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, and I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sin. Ezekiel expands on this a little bit. He was a prophet about the same time as Jeremiah. God says through him to Israel, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit in you, and I will cause you to follow my statutes and carefully obey my ordinances. What is he promising? There is coming a time when I myself will take up residence in my people, and I'm going to write my ways on their hearts, and I'm going to cause them to walk according to the ways that they failed to do in their own strength. I will help them do it. And that's called the new covenant. Move ahead. We're at the Last Supper, actually the last Passover. In the lead up to it, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What is light again? God's revelation. He is the perfect revealing of God to the world. God in human flesh, in a form we can understand. By the way, did he walk out his Father's ways perfectly? This is full contact preaching here. I need some response here. Okay, wear your shoulder pads. And okay. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and therefore he is God in the flesh. Did he walk his Father's ways perfectly? That's what made him the light of the world. He is the perfect revelation of God. He goes on to say, the one who has seen me has seen the Father, because I and the Father are one. Then he goes on and he talks to his disciples and he says, a disciple is not above his teacher. Everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. So if he is the light of the world, he can turn to his disciples and say, you are the light of the world. Why? Because you're learning my ways, and you're going to walk according to my Father's ways. You're going to start shining my Father to the world. Are you with me so far? Okay, good. Because when this comes together, I'm waiting for the, here we go. He teaches them in Matthew 5, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. There's the light thing again. But rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way. What's he talking about? You don't take the revelation of God in your life and hide it away. You live out loud. That's what you're supposed to do. Why? Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Our good works brings glory to the Father, and it actually reveals the Father through us as we lay down our lives and do things His way. When we take in His love and live His love, we are revealing the Father to the world. Actions speak. There you go. Say it again. Actions speak. Are words wrong? No, because you need to sometimes explain the actions. But what is most effective? Actions speak louder than words. So God wants us to live what He has given us, not just talk about it. Good deeds done in love cause others to glorify the Father. And by the way, this is the Jewish view. I have a friend who works for Bridges for Peace, and she has a Jewish friend, and they were walking around talking about faith. And my friend turns to her Jewish friend and says, well, let me tell you what I believe. And her Jewish friend says, no. Let me follow you around for a week. I'll tell you what you believe. Oh, I'm a Christian. Well, let me follow you around for a week and let me tell you what you believe. Do you read the Bible? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength? Oh, are you living it? Is He the first thing in your life? Are you living it? Because if you are, you are now reflecting Jesus to the rest of the world. It's that simple. It's that simple. And now, the rest of the story. When Jesus died on Passover, He started the grand exodus. He defeated the Pharaoh of this world through the blood of the Passover lamb that was applied to the doorposts of our house. He ascended into heaven on day 40 of this waiting period, but He told His disciples, you wait here in Jerusalem because I'm going to come to you. Wait for the promise of my Father. Does this sound familiar? Okay, so they camped in Jerusalem and waited. So there's, if you're looking at a round calendar, you have Passover and first fruits. He died on Passover, raised on first fruits, and now they're in this waiting period toward a festival called Pentecost or Shavuot, which means weeks, because it's 7 weeks. 7 weeks plus one day, math majors, makes 50. On the very same date that the ancient Israelites gathered at the mountain and became God's people, and God imparted His Torah to them in a fantastic display. So the Israelites, the Jews of Jesus' day, were camped at the Temple Mount because that's where all the Jews gathered on Shavuot, Pentecost. And what happened? Let me back up. He says, wait for my Father's promise. Why? Because not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he said, they said, well, if you're going to pour out the Holy Spirit, that must mean the Messianic kingdom is starting, like the boys were considering, right? And he says, no. He says, it's not for you to know when the kingdom is going to start. The Holy Spirit's coming to you for a particular reason. He says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will speak in tongues. No, he didn't say that. He says, you will do miraculous things. No, that's not what he said. He said, you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem first, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus leaves and the wait starts. And on the 50th day, what happens? When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind. Oh, you mean like a roaring fire and a furnace? Appeared. And by the way, what also appeared? Tongues of fire, just like fire had appeared on Mount Sinai. Every Jew that was there that day knew the significance, because this point of the Sinai covenant was ingrained in them. And in a sense, they'd be watching this happening and saying, oh my gosh, it's happening again. But it was different because before, where God came to them, the Holy Spirit came inside them. Before, when the Torah was imparted to them, in this time, now through the Holy Spirit, it's implanted in them. And this is what makes them the witnesses. You follow me? Because now the Holy Spirit's in us saying, excuse me, Pastor Darren, you need to love your neighbor more. Darn it. And he's saying, okay, you guys out there, okay, you need to love a little bit more. You know, why don't you go over and help your neighbor shovel his sidewalk? Why? It's the Torah thing to do. Go. That's a favorite around our congregation. It's a Torah thing to do. Okay? It's time for you to bring food to somebody who's hungry. Why? It's the Torah thing to do, and they see God in you. It's time for you to leave your family and go to Uganda. It's time for you to leave your daughters behind and go to Sweden. Why? It's tough. Father says, I know. But this is how I've specifically called you to be me to them. Because they live in darkness and they need to see a light. Jay, I want you to minister to Israel. I want you to minister to the Jewish people. How? Bring my light to them. How? Love them. Actions speak louder than words. You follow? Okay. Now, this is what's interesting. I've only left one thing out here. The only thing I've left out is at Sinai, God looked at Israel and said, Israel, get on your camels, get off your tuchuses, as they say in Yiddish, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. Plant yourself there and let the nations walk by you. The difference on Pentecost is what? You take it out there. Because they're not all going to come to you. You go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Some of us have been called. There are some specialists out there called missionaries. But you know something? That's a misnomer. All y'all are missionaries. I don't care if you're going next door to your neighbor. You're a missionary. I don't care if you're at school, you're a missionary. I don't care if you're in your business, you're a missionary because every one of us carries the light of God's word and how to live God's way with God's love and God's power to the person next to us who doesn't know him. Welcome to the missionary corps. Now we can all start raising support. Okay, no. I say that because this is God's Jewish way of missions. And sometimes we in the Western church get this a little backwards. We think if we believe the right things, we don't necessarily have to live it. It's kind of secondary, but it's, you know, it's head knowledge. It's not God's way. Well, I'll leave missions up to the other guy. That's not God's way. God's way is, no, you live it and you live it out there. That's the way you do it. And that's what Bridges for Peace has been doing for the last 50 years in Israel. Because of being faithful to the Lord and following his mandate, we have one of the most highly respected ministries in the entire nation. The Jewish people will trust us where they have very little trust for other ministries because of the approach that we take through demonstrating and showing the works. Remember, let your light so shine that they may see your and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so, admittedly, there are protocols in a Jewish community that Christians have to follow in order to gain a hearing and to maintain a hearing, and we follow them. But we're going, yes, and watch us shine. We shine to the extent where, and I have some stats here for you, 26,000 people are fed every month. 70 tons of food are given to the hungry every month. 50,000 Jews so far we've helped to return to Israel. 400 school children receive hot lunches, books, school supplies daily. 1,000-plus homes of the needy are repaired, and you might not think that's a big deal, but if you're a Holocaust survivor, you're getting up in age, and you probably immigrated to Israel shortly after World War II. Your house, after all those decades, is falling apart. Some didn't have handrails. We have a ministry of handrails. That's what we do. We have a ministry of, here, let me fix your window. And these people are so grateful. There's a lady who I just heard had been in her apartment for a year and was not able to, because she can't walk. She couldn't negotiate the stairs, so everything was brought to her. We put up handrails. She left her house for the first time in a year. You don't think that impacts a life? It's marvelous. 18 communities from the south, Dan to the north, Beersheba, adopted for ongoing assistance. Our congregation supports the city of Ariel. We have two ambulances that we've presented to the Magen David Adom, which is David's red shield, the red star of David. That's Israel's Red Cross, so to speak. So we've donated two ambulances to them, which, by the way, in an area with terrorism and war on the horizon, two ambulances are important. And with all of this, we're helping to marshal the efforts of Christians around the world who have a heart and a love for Israel and the Jewish people. And we're helping to guide you to Israel's need. Can I be blunt? Bridges for Peace doesn't have a need. Israel has the need. We facilitate it. I don't get paid for what I do. I'm simply the funnel to help direct those who are interested on whose hearts the Lord is laying this to work with Israel. And you can do it in a number of ways, by the way. We call it the CPGG. Isn't that clever? Okay, let me tell you what that is. First of all, where's the stuff? Here we go. Did you see the dispatch that's in your pew? Pass them down if you will. We not only minister to the Jewish people, we minister to Christians. And we do that through the dispatch. And what that does is it tells you the issues that are going on in Israel, in the Middle East, all of those things. It gives you recipes, technological advancements, teachings. It describes archaeological finds. Tells you how we're feeding the hungry, the things that we're doing. And by the way, in here you'll see a green envelope. If you choose to help, that's a great way of doing it. And the description of our various ministry programs are in the back. Please read through this. We minister to the church primarily through education. What I just taught you about missions is what you would call a Hebraic roots or a Jewish roots teaching. That's what we specialize in. You can find that in the dispatch. You also can find out on the back table a number of the teaching letters. These teaching letters come out on a monthly basis. The dispatch comes out every 2 months. And the teaching letters, by the way, if you're looking for Sunday school materials, we have decades of teaching letters online at bridgesforpeace.com that you can click on, copy off, and use freely. And if Pastor Darren wants to use them for a sermon, he certainly can, because we do. It's a blessing. If you ever come up short, really. So, as a pastor, I know these things. Okay, so you have the teaching letters. You have the dispatch. And the way you can get those, please tell us, Pastor Jay. I would love to. Also in your pew, you'll find this card. It's called a contact card. And by the way, you'll notice it's a postcard, which means you don't put any money in it. All you do is you fill it out with your name and your address, and if you would like, your email, and we'll give you a guest subscription to these two things that will be sent to your home. If you put your email on here, we have a third thing that's a blessing. Every Friday, they do an email blast that tells you what happened in Israel that week and how to pray about it. So if you have a prayer intercessors team, people who have a heart to pray for Israel, that's a tremendous resource. So all you have to do is fill it out, put the information in, and there's a blue bag of blessing. I have to be very careful how I say it. Blue bag of blessing. On the back table, you'll see it's light blue. That's the actual bag that we pack with groceries for those who come into the food bank. And on the outside, in Hebrew, it says, this is given from Christians who love you around the world. And think of this. They get packed up with food, and they're walking home with these food bags through all of these impoverished neighborhoods. And what does it say? Christians love you. Christians love you. How do we know? Don't tell me if you love me. Let me walk around with you for a week, and I'll tell you how much you love me. And that's what we do there. We have this brochure in the back that tells you more about us directly. I came across some testimonies. Would you like to hear some of the response we get? Okay. This is from our Feed a Child program. This came from a child. Thank you very much to my sponsor. I have not seen you face to face, but the face is not important when you have a golden, good, forgiving, and loving heart. I desperately want to meet you to say thank you and to give you a big, big, big hug. I wish I could bless you the way you have blessed me. Thank you very, very, very much, Rousseau. I think I'm going to cry. Okay. This is one. We work with the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces. And in one of our tours, by the way, that's coming up this fall, if you're interested, we also host tours. It's called Guys, Guns, and God. It's an Israel tour where you will go to the ancient and modern-day battlegrounds in Israel. And it's fascinating. It's led by a retired major colonel, another major in the Air Force. So if you're into the military and you're into Israel, this is your tour. Okay, so this is written by a group called Pina Chama. And Pina Chama is basically Israeli for cozy corner. And it's kind of a hospitality thing for the soldiers in the south of Israel in the desert regions of Gush Etzion. And hey, you know, you're a soldier. You're away from your family. You kind of want a break from the heat and a little refreshment. To the amazing supporters of Bridges for Peace, on behalf of the soldiers and security forces serving in the Gush Etzion area, I would like to personally thank you for all the support we have been privileged to receive from you. We are the Pina Chama, which literally means cozy corner. We strive to give the soldiers and security forces hospitality and a feeling of a home away from home. We want to show them our gratitude for protecting us 24/7, and they do. We serve hot drinks, popcorn, cold drinks, homemade cakes, biscuits, and soup in the winter. The soldiers and security forces are bowled over by the hospitality they receive. Now, this is something you have to understand. In the Middle East, hospitality is a primary virtue. The fact that Abraham opened his house to the Lord and the angels, bingo. Lot, bingo. Hospitality is a very important thing. To show hospitality to somebody, one of the highest forms of love. When I explained to them that not only are we a volunteer organization, but we are also heavily supported by Bridges for Peace, a Christian organization, they are deeply moved and humbled. They are truly overwhelmed. The fact that local residents come and spoil them engages them. To know that people from all over the world are deeply involved moves them. We could not be there for them without you, without your support and your encouragement. And for this, we would like to say a massive thank you. An open invitation is extended for you all, and we look forward to many, many more years of cooperation. Here's from a lady that we help because we do immigrants. We help those find their visas and their paperwork to prove they're Jewish. We find them all over the former Soviet Union, the Ukraine, and we help them get these together, and we help with another organization fly them over to Israel. And for those that are too sick or too old, we help support the local food banks there and food shelves and soup kitchens to keep them alive for the remaining days. When they come, we fully establish them, give them a kitchen kit, give them Bibles. Words cannot describe how I felt in that moment when I recently met someone who works for the Bridges for Peace organization that had literally made the impossible possible for me. I made a new friend while working on the wait staff at the King David Hotel part-time. The other day, her father gave me a lift to the central bus station. When he came to pick us up from work, we started talking in the car, and he asked me about myself and if I was from the Ukraine. I was surprised and wondered how he knew. I asked him, and he went on to explain that he was guessing Ukraine since the organization he was working for helps immigrants from that region. He said that Bridges for Peace has been helping more immigrants from the former Soviet Union to come back to Israel than from any other region. I suddenly felt excitement wash through me, and I wanted to cry at the same time. My heart started racing as I exclaimed, "Are you working for Bridges for Peace?" He smiled at me and said, "Yeah." It was difficult to hold back the flood of emotion. Bridges for Peace has been such an integral part of my life in Israel. It is just impossible for me to describe how difficult it has been here in Israel all by myself. And remember, these immigrants come not knowing Hebrew. And usually they have no family, no support. They basically have the social services, as limited as they are, and organizations like ours to help them. I miss my family so much, and even though I am able to study art here and pursue my dream of becoming a professional glassblower, I am alone. My family is far away, and we are very poor. They wanted me to go to Israel, but they have no means to support me in any way. Neither are they financially able to come to Israel. If it was not for Bridges for Peace, who supported me by giving me food parcels and a monthly bus pass, I don't know how I would have survived or how I would ever have been able to complete my studies. I recently got accepted for a scholarship in the United States to continue my studies there. This is another miracle that would not have been possible without the assistance of Bridges for Peace. I pray that one day my family would all be able to make Aliyah to Israel, and that when that happens, Bridges for Peace would be able to help them too. Bridges for Peace is an amazing organization, and their support has changed my life. I could go on for hours with the testimonies that we have from people like this. Again, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are letting our light shine, and that's where God has placed us. How can you do this? Connect. The card. P, pray. We need your prayers. Prayers for open doors, prayers for contact. G, go. Take a tour. When you take a tour, the Bible, which is a two-dimensional book, suddenly becomes a three-dimensional pop-up book. You will read about Gideon and you will say, I was there, because they know where the brook is. You'll say, Elisha threw salt into the water. We know in Jericho where that is. And when you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, you'll see the dotted line that says this is where Jesus walked. I guarantee it. No. You need to go. At the very least, if I can do this, and I'm going to violate, I think you should send Pastor Darren and his wife, if you can. Because I'll tell you what, a pastor who goes to Israel and comes back with a wealth of knowledge and understanding, and it will blow his mind, and he will be totally messed up for the good.
I'm already messed.
Is this true? You're going like this, so I guess you made the cut. Okay, so go, and finally, give. Give. Give to Israel's need. And Bridges for Peace has all the ways that you can do it right there. And by the way, in closing, if you would like a couple of resources that would help you out, we have this book here, Israel and the Church, God's Roadmap. And it talks about the various Jewish roots teachings, the current situation in Israel, how anti-Semitism has affected the church over the years, and why we're wiping 2,000 years of mud off Jesus' face in what we're doing. This makes a great Sunday school book or homeschool or even a small group book, because you can read a chapter and answer the questions. And if you have a prayer team, here's a guide written by our international director, and it's called How to Pray for Israel. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. Both of them are in the table, and they are there for a suggested donation on the back. And that's the end of the commercial. Everybody, please, let your light so shine. Whether you do it locally or you support somebody, any one of the missionaries that came, do so. Because even just giving helps extend that light even farther into the darkness. Amen.